to day two of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to Numbers 7 through 9. Offering of the Leaders. On the day when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle and had anointed and consecrated it with all its furnishings, and had anointed and consecrated the altar with all its utensils, the leaders of Israel, heads of their ancestral houses, the leaders of the tribes who were over those who were enrolled, made offerings. They brought their offerings before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for every 2 of the leaders and for each one an ox. They presented them before the tabernacle. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Accept these from them, that they may be used in doing the service of the tent of meeting, and give them to the Levites, to each according to his service." So Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave to the Gershonites according to their service, and 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave to the Merarites according to their service, under the direction of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. But to the Kohathites he gave none, because they were charged with the care of the holy things that had to be carried on the shoulders. The leaders also presented offerings for the dedication of the altar at the time when it was anointed. The leaders presented their offering before the altar. The Lord said to Moses, "They shall present their offerings, 1 leader each day for the dedication of the altar." The one who presented his offering the first day was Nahshon, son of Ammiud, Dad of the tribe of Judah. His offering was 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver basin weighing 70 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of choice flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 golden dish weighing 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb a year old, for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a purification offering, and for the sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Nahshon, son of Amminadab. On the second day, Nethanel, son of Zuar, the leader of Issachar, presented an offering. He presented for his offering 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver basin weighing 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of choice flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 golden dish weighing 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb a year old as a burnt offering, 1 male goat as a purification offering, and for the sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Nethanel, the son of Zuar. On the third day, Eliab, son of Helon, the leader of the Zebulunites, his offering was 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver basin weighing 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of choice flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 golden dish weighing 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a purification offering, and for the sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Eliab, son of Helon. On the fourth day, Eleazar, son of Shedor, the leader of the Reubenites, his offering was 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver basin weighing 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of choice flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 golden dish weighing 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a purification offering, and for the sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Eleazar, son of Shedor. On the fifth day, Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai, the leader of the Semonites, His offering was 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver basin weighing 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of choice flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 golden dish weighing 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a purification offering, and for the sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai. On the sixth day, Eliasaph, son of Deuel, the leader of the Gadites, his offering was 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver basin weighing 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of choice flour mixed with oil for a grain offering. 1 golden dish weighing 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a purification offering, and for the sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Eliasaph, son of Deuel. On the seventh day, Elishama, son of Ammihud, the leader of the Ephraimites, his offering was 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver basin weighing 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of choice flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 golden dish weighing 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a purification offering, and for the sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Elishama, son of Ammihud. On the eighth day, Gamaliel, son of Pedazur, the leader of the Manassites, his offering was 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver basin weighing 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of choice flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 golden dish weighing 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a purification offering, and for the sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. On the ninth day, Abidan, son of Gidoni, the leader of the Benjaminites, his offering was 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver basin weighing 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of choice flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 golden dish weighing 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a purification offering, and for the sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Abidan, son of Gidoni. On the 10th day, Ahizer, son of Amishaddai, the leader of the Danites, his offering was 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver basin weighing 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of choice flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 golden dish weighing 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a purification offering, and for the sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Azizar, son of Amishaddai. On the 11th day, Pagiel, son of Okron, the leader of the Asherites, his offering was 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver basin weighing 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of choice flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, 1 golden dish weighing 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, 1 male goat for a purification offering, and for the sacrifice of well-being, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 lambs a year old. This was the offering of Pagiel, son of Okron. On the 12th day, Ahira, son of Enon, the leader of the Naphtalites, his offering was 1 silver plate weighing 130 shekels, 1 silver basin weighing 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of choice flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, one golden dish weighing 10 shekels, full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a purification offering, and for the sacrifice of well-being, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs a year old. This was the offering of Ahira, son of Enan. This was the dedication offering for the altar at the time when it was anointed, from the leaders of Israel, 12 silver plates, 12 silver basins, 12 golden dishes, each silver plate weighing 130 shekels and each basin 70, all the silver of the vessels 2,400 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary, the 12 golden dishes full of incense weighing 10 shekels apiece according to the shekel of the sanctuary, all the gold of the dishes being 120 shekels, all the livestock for the burnt offering, 12 bulls, 12 rams, 12 male lambs a year old with their grain offering, and 12 male goats for a purification offering, and all the livestock for the sacrifice of well-being, 24 bulls, 60 rams, 60 male goats, and 60 male lambs a year old. This was the dedication offering for the altar after it was anointed. When Moses went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he would hear the voice speaking to him from above the cover that was the Ark of the Covenant from between the two cherubim. Thus it spoke to him. The seven lamps. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you set up the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light in front of the lampstand." Aaron did so. He set up its lamps in front of the lampstand as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now this was how the lampstand was made, out of hammered work of gold. From its base to its flowers, it was hammered work according to the patterns that the Lord had shown Moses, so he made the lampstand. Consecration and service of the Levites. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the Levites from among the Israelites and cleanse them. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them, sprinkle the water of purification on them. Have them shave their whole body with a razor and wash their clothes and so cleanse themselves. Then let them take a young bull and its grain offering of choice flour mixed with oil, and you shall take another young bull for a purification offering. You shall bring the Levites before the tent of meeting and assemble the whole congregation of the Israelites. When you bring the Levites before the Lord, the Israelites shall lay their hands on the Levites, and Aaron shall present the Levites before the Lord as an elevation offering from the Israelites, that they may do the service of the Lord. The Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the bulls, and he shall offer the one for a purification offering and the other for a burnt offering to the Lord to make atonement for the Levites. Then you shall have the Levites stand before Aaron and his sons, and you shall present them as an elevation offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the other Israelites, and the Levites shall be mine. Thereafter, the Levites may go in and do service at the tent of meeting, once you have cleansed them and presented them as an elevation offering, for they are unreservedly given to me from among the Israelites. I have taken them for myself in place of all that open the womb, the firstborn of the Israelites, for all the firstborn among the Israelites are mine, both human and animal. On the day that I struck down all the firstborns in the land of Egypt, I consecrated them for myself. But I have taken the Levites in place of all the firstborn among the Israelites. Moreover, I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the Israelites to do the service for the Israelites at the tent of meeting and to make atonement for the Israelites in order that there may be no plague among the Israelites for coming too close to the sanctuary. Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation of the Israelites did with the Levites accordingly. The Israelites did with the Levites just as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning them. The Levites purified themselves from sin and washed their clothes. Then Aaron presented them as an elevation offering before the Lord, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. Thereafter, the Levites went in to do their service in the tent of meeting in attendance on Aaron and his sons. As the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did with them. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This applies to the Levites from 25 years old and up. They shall begin to do the duty and service of the tent of meeting. And from the age of 50 years, they shall retire from the duty of the service and serve no more. They may assist their brothers in the tent of meeting in carrying out their duties, but they shall perform no service. Thus you shall do with the Levites in assigning their duties." the Passover at Sinai. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Let the Israelites keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time according to all its statutes and all of its regulations, you shall keep it." So Moses told the Israelites that they should keep the Passover. They kept the Passover in the first month on the 14th day of the month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So the Israelites did. Now there were certain people who were unclean through touching a corpse, so they could not keep the Passover on that day. They came before Moses and Aaron on that day and said to him, "Although we are unclean through touching a corpse, why must we be kept from presenting the Lord's offering at its appointed time among the Israelites?" Moses said to them, "Wait so that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the Israelites, saying, 'Any one of you or your descendants who is unclean through touching a corpse or is away on a journey shall still keep the Passover to the Lord. In the second month of the 14th day at twilight, they shall keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break a bone of it. According to all the statutes for the Passover, they shall keep it. But anyone who is clean and is not on a journey and yet refrains from keeping the Passover shall be cut off from the people for not presenting the Lord's offering at its appointed time. Such a one shall bear the consequence for the sin. Any alien residing among you who wishes to keep the Passover to the Lord shall do so according to the statute of the Passover and according to its regulation. You shall have one statute for both the resident alien and the native of the land. The cloud and the fire. On the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covering the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant, and from evening until morning it was over the tabernacle, having the appearance of fire. It was always so. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, then the Israelites would set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the Israelites would camp. At the command of the Lord, the Israelites would set out, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they would remain in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the Israelites would keep the charge of the Lord and would not set out. Sometimes the cloud would remain a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they would remain in camp. Then according to the command of the Lord, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud would remain from evening until morning. When the cloud lifted in the morning, they would set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they would set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, resting upon it, the Israelites would remain in camp and would not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the command of the Lord, they would camp, and at the command of the Lord, they would set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by Moses. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? The themes of Leviticus are continued in Numbers. Numbers is intended to continue the story of Leviticus and to mirror Exodus. The themes of clean and unclean continues and the need to be clean to be close to God. We need to remember that there is not a moral judgment behind cleanliness. The goal is to move from the commonness of humanity towards holiness or completeness. Have you found power in rituals, calming your spirit and moving towards wholeness and connection to God? Do you find meaning in your life in anointing objects or others with oil? Are prayer and fasting rituals that bring you to a state of being clean? We are reminded to find wisdom in the scripture, recognizing that it was written within the context of an ancient culture and understanding of the world. Now let's move to Romans 7 through 9. An analogy for marriage. Or do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only during that person's lifetime. Thus a married woman is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is discharged from the law concerning the husband. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she belongs to another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she belongs to another man, she is not an adulteress. In the same way, my brothers and sisters, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we are living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive, so that we are enslaved in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the written code. The law and sin. What then are we to say? What the law, that the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin it lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died, and the very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin seized an opportunity in the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. Did what is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin that was working death in me through what is good, in order that it might be shown to be sin, so that through the commandment sin might become sinful beyond measure. The inner conflict. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now I do what I do not want. I agree that the law is good, but in fact, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that the good does not dwell within me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do the good lies close at hand, but not the ability. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now I do what I do not want. It is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my innermost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched person that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I am enslaved to the law of God, but with my flesh, I am enslaved to the law of sin. Life in the Spirit. Therefore, it is now no commendation from those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and de of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin. He commended sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, but it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, but also through his Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are obligated not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if we in fact suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Future glory. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be set free from its enslavement to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labor. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what one already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. And God, who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. God's love in Christ Jesus. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ who died, or rather who was raised, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God and Jesus our Lord. God's election of Israel. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from the Christ for the sake of my own brother and sister and my own flesh and blood. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, according to the Christ, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. It is not through the word of God that it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all those descended from Israel are Israelites, and not all of Abraham's children are his descendants, but it is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as descendants. For the word of the promise is this: about this time I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. Nor is that all. Something similar happened to Rebekah when she had conceived children by one husband, our ancestor Isaac, even before they had been born or had anything good or had done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose of election might continue, not by works, but by his call. She was told, "The elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau." What then are we to say? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I have raised you up for this very purpose, I may show my power in you, that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whomever he chooses, and he hardens the heart of whomever he chooses. God's wrath and mercy. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who indeed are you, a human, to argue with God? Will what is molded say to the one who molds it, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one object for special use and another for ordinary use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience the object of wrath that are made for destruction? And what if he has done so in order to make known the riches of his glory for the objects of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory, including us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but from the Gentiles, as he also says in Hosea, those who were not my people, I will call my people, and her who is not beloved, I will call beloved. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there shall be children of the living God. And Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the numbers of the children of Israel were like the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. For the Lord will execute his sentence on the earth quickly and decisively. And as Isaiah predicted, if the Lord of hosts has not left descendants to us, we would have fared like Sodom and been made like Gomorrah. Israel's unbelief. What then are we to say? Gentiles who did not strive for righteousness have attained it, that is, righteousness through faith. But Israel, who did not strive for the law of righteousness, did not attain that law. But why? Because they did not strive for it on the basis of faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written. See, I am laying in Zion a stone that will make people stumble, a rock that will make them fall, and whoever trusts in him will not be put to shame. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? What does it look like to walk according to the Spirit? Paul states that to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. How are we to think about our physical bodies when it comes to walking according to the spirit? Is there an embodiment to faith, to our sense of self and how we see the world? How does knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God provide peace and lead towards a complete life? Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father, who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done, as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.